Okay. We're starting a new, kind of going a new little bit of a series. Today's going to be introductory, so to speak. So let me begin this way. Last weekend we had Good Friday, Jesus on the cross Friday, Sunday, the resurrection. So let's, in our minds, in our hearts, let's just pretend, what if we were there? What if we're in first century Israel, Jerusalem? What if you're there? What if we had witnessed that Friday, and then the joy of Sunday, the resurrection? We've seen him now, and it's a week later, and he's kind of like here and there, right? I mean, he's kind of showing up here and there. I mean, he's here. He's got like 40 days before he ascends. So he's around. And we know what we've seen. I mean, what would be going through your mind right now? I mean, how would we be feeling? Are we kind of like waiting for him to walk in the door? Wonder where he's at today? It would be an amazing time, just this short time afterward, for that 40 days just to experience that and to know he's alive somewhere. We've seen him, we touched him, we talked to him, we ate with him. I mean, this is amazing. Where is he? What's going to happen? It was just a very interesting time that we don't think much about. But this much I know, and this is where we're going, that in John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, he was preparing them for this time. He was preparing them for him leaving. Now, in theological circles, it's called the upper room discourse. Okay, it's called the upper room discourse. Why? Because they're in the upper room. Because this is the night before, or the night of his crucifixion. They're having the Passover. He said, you know, go untie the colt, go do this, go do that. He told them all this. So he's preparing. It's the night before. He's having that Passover meal with them. They're in the upper room. He will leave this room. He will leave this time and go to the garden where he will be betrayed and crucified. And in this upper room discourse, teaching, we've got about four chapters or so of just some of the most amazing teaching of Jesus that we love to quote for all kinds of reasons, but it's rich in preparation for this is what's going to happen, and this is where I want you to be. When I'm gone, I'm preparing you. And so he spends that last evening, he's just on a really nice discourse, talking to them, all kind of getting them ready. I'm going away. Then you're going to see me again. And they're just like, what? It's an amazing time. Some of those beautiful verses we quote from here. Hey, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again. Some of those amazing passages we quote came on this last evening, just this last night, just getting them ready for what's going to happen next week, the week after, and down the road. So I want to focus just today, on three verses. I'm going to read them to you. This will be our topic for the next few weeks. John chapter 15, verse 11. He's right in the middle. He's right kind of in the middle of teaching us. He's sitting down with his disciples and the others there in the room having this last supper. We're hours away. He knows what's about to happen. John chapter 15, verse 11, he makes this statement, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." John chapter 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. John chapter 17, verse 13. John chapter 17, verse 13. But now I am coming to you, and he's in a prayer here, he's talking to the Father. But now I am coming to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You see where I'm heading? All you know what is about to break loose. I mean, the whole unity, this whole little band of merry men, this whole thing, this whole movement, this family is about to be turned inside out, and he's preparing them for later. And again and again and again, he tells them, joy is possible. Very possible. I want you to have my joy in you to the fullest. In what's going to happen. After what's going to happen. And it's going to get really ugly really fast. But this is doable. So let's just think about this for a minute. This is Jesus' joy. It's not my joy. It's not your joy. It's not the world's joy. It's actually Jesus' joy. He has joy. And he says, I want you to have it, and I want you to be full of it. Full of it. Now, people say, Christians, you're just a bunch of sour people. You're just no fun. You never have no fun. I'm telling you, Jesus is saying again and again and again, I want you to have my joy filling up in you. Jesus wants us to have joy. I'm going to say that over and over this morning. Jesus wants us to be full of joy. To be filled up. Not a little bit. Not part of the time. To be full of joy. Now, we need to know this. Joy does not equal happy. Joy does not equal fun. It certainly can be. That's not saying we can't have fun or be happy. No, we can. And there are certainly times when our joy does have happy and fun. But we need to know they're not the same. For instance, the context of this passage. There's nothing fun about what's about to happen. And he will tell them in chapter 15, the very next thing he says in beginning at verse 18. So he's just told them this. He just said, I want my joy to be in you and I want it to be full. I want you to be full of my joy. And you can't get very far down that page, and you know what he says? Hey, the world's going to hate you. And they hated me. And they're probably going to hate you too. And there's a good chance as he goes on into chapter 16, he says, they might kick you out of the synagogue because of me. And truthfully is, some of you, maybe most of you, they're going to kill you. I already know that. They're going to kill you, and they're going to think they're doing God a favor. Hey, but I want you to have my joy. I want you to be full of my joy. So this is not fun. It's not happy. It's something else. There's something more. That's where we're going to go in the next few weeks. I want us to find this thing, to discover it, to peel back the layers of this and to understand it a little bit better. I like to have fun. I like to be happy. This is powerful. This is more. This is deeper. If happy is renting a cabin in the woods for the week, that's happy. Joy is owning your own home. Joy is owning your own home. Joy is having a home to go to every day, to go into, to find your shalom, your peace, your tranquility. Happy, the cabin in the woods. Joy, I own my own home. I have a home. Happy, hey, let's go out and test drive some really nice sports cars. Let's go drive a Corvette off the lot. Let's go drive a new Mustang. Let's go tool around a little bit. Joy, I own my own car and it runs really well. And it takes me to work and it doesn't cost me a lot. And I get around. Joy. There's just this big difference. There's this thing that grounds us, that grounds our life. It does so many things that we have to study it. We have to learn about it to find out that it's so powerful in our life. Joy. Happiness, man, it's just these amazing times. It's these periods, these explosions of just crazy fun. It's just awesome. First Fridays was fun. But you can't live there. But joy, you can live there. And Jesus says, I want you to have my joy. My joy. And I'm about to go to the cross. So, we're gonna look at this. We're going to study this. We're just going to know there's something we're going to probe. There's something we're going to look at that's deeper. It's steady. It's warm. It's beautiful. It's nourishing. John 16:33, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. We will have this joy no matter what's going on around us. Happy, unhappy. Fun, not so fun. Surgery, not surgery. Good reports, not good reports. Feeling like the Incredible Hulk, feeling sick. We can have this joy. Marriage going well, marriage not going well. Job going well, job not going well. Happiness, gone. Joy grounds you. Joy anchors you. Why? It's Jesus' joy in us, filling us. Okay? We need to look at this. And here's why. Jesus provided for us to have it. He didn't just tell us to have it. He said, I'm providing it for you. Here's how you have it. He provided it for us. In chapter 15, he said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. I've spoken things to you that you can have it. I've provided it by what I've spoke. In verse 16, he says, you haven't asked anything in my name, but if you ask in my name from now on and receive it, you'll receive it. If you ask in my name, we talked about that just a little bit on Wednesday night, what it means to ask in Jesus' name. If you ask in my name, you'll receive it, that your joy will be full. I've provided a way. If you read that entire passage in chapter 16, verse 22, he says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. You're going to be really sad. And then you're going to see me, and you're going to rejoice, and you're going to have a joy that no one can take from you. No one. This is yours. It's Jesus' joy in you. No one can take it. That's amazing. That's amazing. Why? Because you're going to be really sad, and then you're going to see me. And there ain't nobody can take that. There's no one can take it when we see Jesus. Joy is powerful. Joy is powerful. Now, I'm going to ask Devon if he will come up and read a scripture for us. He's going to read a psalm for us, part of a psalm. Listen carefully as he reads the psalm. Listen to the situation, listen to the backdrop, listen to what David says in this psalm.
We're reading Psalm 21, verses 1 to 7. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you. You gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow upon him, for you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Psalm 21, 1 to 7.
Wow. Now, if you read the rest of the psalm, he's going to talk about his enemies. But right here, he said, I've asked life of you. You've given me life forever. You give me eternal life. You're promising me life forever. I've asked of you. I've come to you. I've trusted in you. Man, I'm just blowing up. I'm exalting with joy. I'm full of joy because I trust you. Oh, by the way, I have a bunch of enemies. It's an amazing thing, this joy of Jesus, this Jesus joy that he gives us. And it doesn't matter what's going on around us. Nobody takes it, and we explode with joy. We trust him, and we see him, and he comes to us, and he delivers us. And it grounds us. It anchors us in him. Happy, not happy. It's our anchor. We've seen and we trust the Savior. See, there's something more here. Something much bigger than a week of happiness, than a day of happiness. We're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead. So, there's a couple things I want to leave us with. I want us to move on. Number one, let's just soak this in. Let's just soak this in. Number one, Jesus wants us to have his joy. Jesus wants you and you and you. Just put your name in that. Jesus wants us to have it. It's a concern of his. It's a desire of his. It's for all of us because John, later on, a lot later on in the book of 1 John, he's just going to quote this again. He's just going to say it again. I've written these things unto you that our joy and your joy may be full. He's just quoting what Jesus taught them. This is for us. Think about that. Your Savior wants you to be full of His joy. He doesn't want us to be scattered, unstable, emotional wrecks. I mean, we're going to have all of that, but He wants us to be anchored in His joy. His joy. We've got to figure out what that is. He wants us to have it. Now listen. This is more than an emotional trip. This is more. Jesus wants us to have it because it's unstoppable. When you and I have this joy, we are unstoppable. We are unflappable. Oh, Terry, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we become neutered. Impotent. And we're going, well, I'm going to wait for them to come back down to earth because we've got ministry and we've got fruit to bear. I know they're in this dark hole. And that Jesus wants us to be unstoppable. Listen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, what? What? Tell me. For the joy set before Him, He did what? He endured the cross. He was unstoppable. He was unshakable. He ministered, He died, He did the most significant event of all history in ministry for us, for the joy that was set before Him. He wants us to have His joy. He wants us to be unstoppable in our ministry, in our effectiveness, in our fruit, in who we are, in the power that lives in us. He wants us to be unshakable like He was, for the joy in Him, He endured the cross. He endured the cross. These ladies are enduring, okay? They're enduring. Wendy's enduring. We're enduring. Jesus endured the cross. Unstoppable. That's what we have when we find this joy. You will not stop us. You will not shake us. You will not beat us. Jesus wants us to have His unstoppable, unflappable joy. He prayed about it. He taught about it. He knows its power. Please, please understand me when I say, please. I know there are people who manufacture this so-called joy. I know that. I know there are people that we meet who have this plastic, churchy kind of joy. How are you today? I'm just fine. Thank you. Oh, praise God for that. I know that, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about your legs are getting cut out from under you, and you're fine. You'll have, pray for me. I'm hurting right now. I'm it, but you will not be stopped. I don't want you to say, don't pray for me. It's all good. I'm fine. Everything's right. No, you're hurting. You're hurting. I want you to say, I'm hurting. But man, I'm not stopping. I'm hurting. Pray for me. I've got to do this for Jesus. I'm going to keep going for Jesus. They're not going to stop me either. He went to the cross. I'm not stopping either. Yes, I'm hurting. I could use some help. I could use some prayers. I'm not talking about that fakey, plasticky, churchy, joyy, whatever that is. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to say words my wife doesn't want me to say. That's not what I'm talking about. Oh, I just lost my car. Praise God. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I just lost my job and I'm hurting and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to keep going for Jesus. That much I do know. Pray for me. Help me. Help me look for a job. But they won't stop me. I will not stop. They won't defeat me. I have Jesus. He's in me. I love Him. His joy is here. I'm good. Let's go. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but let's go. Pray for me. I need you. That's the joy I'm talking about. That's the real deep anchor I'm talking about. So, you guys are going to love me today. I'm about to close this message. Let Matt have the kids. He's teaching them. He's got time. He needs to be with them. You guys fellowship. Pray with these ladies. Pray with Wendy. Enjoy each other for a little bit. This much we know. If someone has given up, distance themselves, disengaged, disillusioned. Maybe it's the joy that's left them. Maybe like Peter, the eyes came off of Jesus and onto the waves, and they lost it. They started to sink. And we need to go to them and say, hey man, I'm here. I want to pray for you. I want to help you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes back on Jesus. He's got you. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. You can do this. We're with you. But there are those, sometimes they disengage. And they lose it. It's not because they're bad or weak. Their eyes come off Jesus, the joy goes. But here's the truth, isn't it? When the waters get choppy, the waves get big, it's easy to take our eyes off of Jesus. But this much I know. I have a son who's a big fisherman. This much I know. He catches the best fish in choppy water. He's caught some of the best fish he's ever caught on a windy, choppy water day. And so will we. You tell me, truthfully, is there much time in this life when the water isn't choppy? It seems like most of the time, the water's kind of choppy, windy. The boat's kind of... All I know is, you catch some really big fish in choppy water. That's where we need to be grounded in the joy. When the water gets choppy, there's some really big fish to catch. In that. So we've done two memorial services for Wes. We did one yesterday in Adrian, Michigan. And I'm just going to tell you, that's choppy water. That's choppy water. And bless Wendy and Dick and Jane and Amanda up there. They told me, we want you to give the gospel. We want you to come at this with Jesus. They need to hear the truth. And we did. And yesterday, I put it right in their lap, man. Boom. And I gave an invitation. Nobody came forward. But by the time we had dinner yesterday, I'd already heard from Dick and Jane and others that there are already decisions being made. People are already deciding to change their lives. He told me in the cafeteria, and one of them was Wendy's mom. She didn't tell me. One of them told me, I heard Wendy's mom say, I need to get in church. I need to do that. So now we need to pray for her mom because she has poor health and had some issues already last evening. But already, an hour later, they said that some of the family they're going to be making some changes. Now, I always say this, why does someone have to die and pass on before we move that much? I mean, why do we got to go through that just to do what we know all along, what we should be doing? But this much I know, there's a lot to be accomplished in choppy water on a windy day when you're fishing with Jesus. And the only way is if you really love, you really have the joy of Jesus in you. I like fishing. I really don't want to go fishing with my son when it's like 20 mile an hour winds and the boat's like, I'm not having fun. My son has an anchored joy in fishing. He fishes when it's snowing. He fishes when it's blowing. He gets up at hours of the day I don't want to be up, and he goes fishing. You can't stop him from fishing. You can't stop us when we have the joy of Jesus in us. It's his joy in us. We're going to catch some big fish. We're going to have a good day, even in choppy water. Your family, you're going to catch some big fish in this choppy water. You know that. You know that. I don't know what your doctor's reports are going to be like. I wish I did. And I certainly have no idea how you're feeling and how scared and anxious you must be right now. My heart hurts for you. If you have this joy of Jesus in you, we're going to catch some big fish through whatever happens. And that's what we want. That's what you want. Let's catch some fish. Let's hold each other up. Keep each other in the boat. Let's have that joy. He won't be defeated. He's not going to be defeated. Let's hang on to the joy of Jesus. The next few weeks, we're going to dig. We're going to find out, how do I get this joy filling me up? What did Jesus speak? What did he pray? That I could have it. Because he provided it. He didn't just tell us to have it and turn us loose. He provided for it. It's there for the taking. We're going to find it. Okay? We're going to be unstoppable. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, we are trying to wrap our mind around this right now. We are, and we need your help. We're going to need your help. We're going to need your grace. Because we have all kinds of choppy water going on in our lives right now. Man, these ladies over here are nervous and scared and unsure. And Wendy and her family are hurting. Others of us are. Lord, catch some fish. Let's be powerful. Lord, we want to take this time not as a loss, but as a gain for your glory. Lord, take us through this. Fill us with your joy, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.